God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text will be coming from our gospel reading from Luke chapter 3, but before I get into this, let me just ask a moment of confession. How many of you ever wanted or desired or gave a gift like a pet rock? I will admit, as a little boy, that was sort of like the growing trend and fad. We also had other interesting trends and fads, if I remember. You remember that little glass bird that would just sort of waddle a little bit and slowly get its beak closer and closer to the water? And probably one of the more popular ones, you know, the lava lamps. And then there was the Rubik's Cube phase. And I will admit, out of all those trending ones, and of course you got Shia pets and things like that, probably the most useless was the one I probably liked the most, that pet rock. But it gives us an interesting idea that in today's society that, you know, we like to follow crowds. So if that's the latest, hottest topic, or idea, or gift, or fad, we like to follow the crowds. And to be fair, you know, we don't like that insecurity of being the only one who is different. We do like to go along with the flow of things. Well, you know, that's not too bad if the crowds are going the right direction. Some illustration of things going the right direction is you have now a new movement for conservation of the earth. Again, sort of being renewed. And global warming. Well, fair enough, there are some good things that come out with following the crowds. But some bad things. The pet rock. I'm glad that hasn't been brought back. Well, in today's text, we have to deal with crowd control, so to speak. Verse 15 begins, as the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ. We've got a problem here with crowd control. Let me explain it this way. There's nothing wrong with the people, and the word is expectation in the Greek, sort of denotes a mental direction, you know, of one of hope or of fear, and fair enough, we should fear and love the Lord with all our heart and soul and strength. And fair enough, you know, John was sort of attracting a crowd, not any fault of his own. But now let me pick on the crowd here for a moment. They were sort of thinking in their minds, could John be the Christ? Hold on a second. Put on the brakes. John didn't do any miracles. He wasn't even in the line of David. So why would the people think that he was the Christ? Well, I guess they forgot about their Bibles. I do hope and pray that the Sunday school students who got their Bibles today won't fall in that similar category, that they won't forget about the Bibles, but read the Bibles. And then they would learn that, of course, John could not be the Christ. He was the forerunner of Christ. But even the people who had, quote-unquote, their Bibles, the Sanhedrin, also got caught in this crowd control. The Sanhedrin would one day also send a formal committee to ask this direct question, as it comes from John chapter 1, verse 19. Talk about the fickleness of people. How quickly people would rather follow the crowd instead of saying, well, what is the truth? What does God's word have to say about this truth? Unfortunately, today's society is not much different. We live in a world where people do follow the crowd. You just need someone with a strong personality, you know, someone tall, good-looking, can speak well, and there will be a crowd following. Fortunately for the crowd, John was speaking the truth and not leading people astray. However, not all people who have a crowd following them are speaking the truth. We pick up a little bit later, verse 16. John quickly deflects the crowd. He says, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming. The straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, if John the Baptist had a PR person or a marketing director, they would say, strike this whole verse from the Bible here, John. Let's stop for a moment. There's nothing wrong with claiming what you do, but don't point people to something that's better than you. Don't put yourself down. And don't say that someone's got a better product than what you have. Because that's exactly what John did in verse 16. I baptize you with water, but someone's coming who's better than me. I'm not worthy to untie this guy's sandals. And he will baptize you not just with water, but with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Oh, the PR people are probably saying, John, you're going to get rid of the crowds. But John also later in Scripture says, that's okay. He must increase. I must decrease. I can just see the PR people and the marketing people just sort of scratching their heads and saying, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. Fair enough. The world that our world goes in and its direction is not necessarily the same direction that God goes in. Verse 17 would also be struck. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. The PR people would say, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. People go to heaven. Great. That's good news. But the chaff will be burned with unquenchable fire. The PR people say, strike the second half of that verse. We don't want to talk about hell. We don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. We don't want them to sort of sweat it out. We want to promise them all salvation. And there's nothing wrong with promising salvation. But God's word does say, wait a minute, some people are going to heaven. Some people are going to hell. We'll just sort of stop at this point and just sort of ask a moment as Christians, how do we deal and struggle with these verses? Because verse 17 may present that same question in each and every one of us. And thinking, wait a minute, am I assured with all my heart and soul and strength that yes, I am going to heaven? Or am I going to be like the chaff being burned in unquenchable fire? Well, hopefully we'll gather a little bit of instruction. You'll know where I'm going by the title of our message, Bound by Water and the Word. Because what happens at the end of our text? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself is baptized. Now this sort of begs the question, why did Jesus have to be baptized? Jesus wasn't sinful. He was sinless. True man, true God. God, from the moment of his conception, birth. Unfortunately, not everyone believes this. You'd be amazed of how many theologians don't feel that Jesus was actually God. That's a very scary point. But what does God's word say? In the beginning was the Word. God was there, the second person of the Trinity, from the beginning. Okay, so Jesus was being baptized. Why? Well, we have to go back to our definition of what a sacrament is. A sacrament, as we say, is an act instituted by God. And that gives you your definition, or your reason why Jesus had to be baptized. He had to institute baptism for us. Instituted by God, have a physical means, bestow the forgiveness of sins. Plain and simple, here we have baptism. Jesus is instituting it. He himself is undergoing it. There is a physical means, that of water. And when water is connected to God's Word, there's nothing special in and of the water. What's really special is the Word. When that water is connected to God's Word, something happens. And as Titus chapter 3, verse 5 reminds us, there is a renewal. There is a change within us, a regeneration. And as John describes that renewal and regeneration, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now let's go back to verse 17 for a second. The question I asked in regards to verse 17 was, can we know for certain that we're going to heaven? And the answer is yes. For those of us who have been bound with the water and the Word, for those of us who have been baptized into Christ, because when we're baptized into Christ, we have Christ's name being placed upon us, we have that Holy Spirit. We are purged of our sins. We are given eternal life. We put our faith and trust in what Christ has done, not in what we have done. So the answer to that question to verse 17 is, have you been baptized and do you believe and trust in the promises of God that were given to you at your baptism? If you say yes, then you have the gift of eternal life. Let no one put any question or doubt in your mind. Even if the crowds are gathering around some other person over there, Where do you put your faith and trust? Hopefully your faith and trust in salvation is not in the pet rocks and the lava lamps of the world, but it is in the promises of God's Word. This is one of the reasons why we hang on to God's Word so much, because the world changes. I mean, I dated myself really quickly when I named a pet rock. Those of you who are greatly younger than I are probably sitting scratching their heads, what's a pet rock? Those of you who are my age or older are going, oh yeah, I remember that. Okay? Fads change. God's Word does not change. Even though the fads change, you want to know where your security is? Your security is in the fact that you have been baptized. You bear Christ's name. He is with you always. That last hymn that we sang, hymn number 590, has a beautiful verse in there. Actually, they're all beautiful, but let me just highlight verse 3. My faithful God, you fail me never. Your promise surely will endure. Oh, cast me not away forever. If words and deeds become impure, have mercy when I come defiled. Forgive, lift up, restore your child. Here we talk about a very loving, caring God who forgives, renews, regenerates. And through baptism, God does these things. God doesn't wish to destroy us like chaff, but He wishes that all people be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. The reason why we remember this day of the baptism of our Lord is because we need to remember our own baptism. Christ instituted it for us to give us comfort, to give us hope, to encourage us even though the world is going a different direction, but to remind us that in Christ and Christ alone we have salvation. It's not something that we do, it's what Christ has done for us. Yes, we live in a world that is constantly changing. There are fads that are coming, there are going, there are people with smooth words that lead many down the wrong path. But God's Word does not change because God's promise does not change. This is also a day that we give our Bibles, to our Sunday school students. Again, in hopes and expectation that through the family they read this Word. It's not to be a dusty doorstop, but it's something that gives life, salvation, through these words. Later on, during the announcement section, we'll also hear an update from the work that the Gideons are doing in placing God's holy word in opportune places for people to pick them up in time of need. This all goes back to what Christ has done, not what we do. So this day we do realize that through our baptism we are bound to Christ and His promises are bound to us, not by what we have done, but by what Christ has done. So we give great praise and thanks to God and to St. Luke for bringing this event to us, to remind us that yes, we have a Savior, as John is pointing Him out to us, not grabbing glory for Himself, but pointing us the right direction. So it is with God's Word. It doesn't point us to ourselves, but it points us to our Savior, who is Christ the Lord. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.